Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details or contact us at pr@speakuptalkradio.com. Well, what would it be like to grow up in a struggling immigrant Italian family with an abusive father? Well, today's guest and author knows about this all too well. She is Diana Grillo. Diana lived in a wealthy suburb in Westchester County, New York. The contrast of wealth and social status made her feel as though she never quite belonged. She became a mother at a very young age and worked her way through college while raising a son and a daughter. After graduating with a BS from Mercy College, she worked as a paralegal and social worker. She began writing following retirement. She now lives in Cave Creek, Arizona, with her husband, where she draws on the sharp contrast of her youth and her journey through life as inspiration for many of her short stories. She is a member of the Arizona's Author Association, and one of her short stories, Mr. Anderson, will be included in the anthology available today, May 31st, 2017, by Publish My Short Story. And an excerpt of one of her stories can be found on her website, shortstoriesbydiana.com. And I have sincerely been looking forward to this conversation. So welcome to the network, Diana.
Hi, Pat. Thank you.
Oh, gosh, my pleasure. I love Cave Creek. And when we first looked to purchase our second home in Arizona way back when, Cave Creek was actually our first choice. But somehow we ended out at the base of the Superstition Mountain, which is also amazing, as is so of all of Arizona.
It's beautiful, Cave Creek, surrounded by the beautiful mountains and desert. It's just amazing.
It most certainly is. It's a beautiful way to live a life. Well, today I want to touch on two of your short stories. So let's begin with the one that is coming out today, and it's called Mr. Anderson. Now, Diana, I read it and I was just crushed for you and anyone else who has to experience that kind of abuse. So maybe tell us a bit about the story and why you decided to write it.
Yes. I call it creative nonfiction because it really did happen to me. And it was kind of a turning point in my life. Very soon after that incident that my father beat me up, I left home. And so it was very traumatic. And the fact that my boyfriend at the time was outside witnessing this horrific event really made it even more so for me. Because I think so many times when somebody is living in an abusive situation, it's very, very secretive. And this was exposing it. And that was difficult because those things are usually hidden.
Right. Right.
It was also at a time when I didn't put this in the story, but there was a police station right down the road from where I lived at this time. And I thought about going and running there. Actually, I think I did put some of that in the story, but I knew that they wouldn't do anything because the laws just weren't there. They didn't protect you from abuse from a father or from a husband at that time. It was a difficult time.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was a very difficult time for you. And so what made you decide that, yes, I have to write about this and put yourself out there?
I started to write short stories after I lost my daughter, my adult daughter, that 7 years ago, and I just wanted to get my story out there and information about my life. I was going through a lot of pain, and I think that the pain I felt as a child growing up in that situation, and the pain I felt from the loss of my daughter, was just overwhelming for me. And for me, it was a way of healing the past and healing the pain of losing my daughter. Mm-hmm. So, I'm very happy that it was accepted and will be part of that anthology. It's very exciting for me.
Yes, tell us about that. It's coming out today, and give us the name of the anthology and where folks might be able to find it.
Yes, it's by published my short story, and it's called Boundless. And I just found that out today because they just sent me an email about it. So you can read it online for free, but then you can also purchase the book, and it has my story in it and several other authors' short stories in it.
I want it to be exciting to see your story in print.
Very exciting, very exciting, because it's very difficult to have a short story accepted if you're not a well-known author. Mm-hmm. And so this is very exciting for me, yes. And I hope that it touches people and gets people to think about the kinds of things that that happen secretly in homes where there's difficulties and abuse going on.
Absolutely. As I read that and thinking about all the people that you see in the day, whether you know them or you just casually walk by them in the grocery store or at the bank, you never know what's really going on in their lives at home.
And yes, that's so true. And I just had a 50th reunion for my high school. I'm talking to people now and that I grew up with. Some of them I went to actually grammar school with, and all through high school and middle school, high school. And we talk now about what life is like in the home, and I find that so many people struggle with so many things, and you know, an alcoholic father, or financial problems, or in my home, physical and mental abuse. Mm-hmm. But that just wasn't talked about then, and now we can actually open up to each other and talk about it, and yes. I think that's wonderful.
Especially with people like you getting out there. And then again, as I read your story, An Accidental Murder, Diana, it was so well written that I actually felt as if I were viewing it rather than reading it. I just knew what the Costas looked like. I felt like what that little apartment was like upstairs. Tell us a little bit about that and why you felt the need to write that.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for that compliment. I appreciate that. And I'm glad that you felt that way.
I did.
Yes, actually, this was more fiction, but it was... When I was very young, when I was 12, my sister was 7 years older, was married to a man who abused her very, very badly. She almost died, actually, from the physical abuse. And it was at a time when, again, in the 60s, you couldn't even get a divorce because there wasn't any grounds. The only grounds for divorce in New York at the time was adultery. And if you... even if there was adultery, you had to prove adultery. So basically your husband could beat you, like Mr. Costa did in my story, and there was no recourse. I mean, you couldn't even divorce this man if you wanted to. And the police, there were no laws, so the police wouldn't even do anything, even if they were called and came to the house. So you had no protections at all. And it's changed now, and that's good. That's a good thing. But yes, I wanted to bring that forward in the story. I wanted to show that a husband can just so terribly abuse his wife, and the people around them, and maybe they know what's going on, and they try to help her, as the neighbor did in the story. But calling the authorities and getting some real resolution to that problem, it just wasn't there for her, and that's what I wanted to bring forth in the story.
So then the only recourse would be flipping him over the balcony.
Yes, yes.
Sorry, there's no other way.
That was pretty harsh. But it was the resolution, right? It was the resolution.
I like the harshness because it really then showed you the problem. It was, all right, this woman can't get away from this any other rational way.
And I think, fearing for her life. I think many ways it was his life or her life.
Yep.
I guess she chose to live. She chose to survive. And it's powerful.
Yeah. Absolutely powerful. So those are the two that you have written so far. Is there anything else in the works? What are your plans for future writing?
Actually, I've written about 7 short stories. So I just sent you the 2 of them. But... I'm thinking maybe that possibly putting them into, maybe self-publishing, or if I can get somebody that would want to publish them, putting them into a short story collection, and doing that. So that's something down the road. Also, one of my stories I wrote, I'm thinking about turning that story into a play, actually.
Excellent.
And so I'm working on that. I've never written a play before, so that will be an interesting adventure.
Oh, and I bet there's places all over Arizona that would be interested in performing that.
Well, I do know that the Phoenix Theater has, and in fact, it's going on right now, open submissions for plays.
Mm-hmm.
And there are guidelines if you go online to see what they are. So if I can put this together and turn my short story into the play, then I will probably submit it there.
Mm-hmm.
But they do take submissions from all over the world, actually.
Okay.
So,
all right. Well,
very competitive.
Being local might be kind of good for them, though, to have a local author. And I like the idea of the short story anthology where you put all of your short stories into one.
Yes, that would be great. And a lot of people are doing self-publishing now, and so I might look into that as well.
Oh, absolutely. I have talked with so many authors that have chosen to self-publish, and I think it's a very obvious and viable option. You can wait forever to go the traditional route and then have excellent work go unseen. So, yes, if I could, I would encourage you to go ahead and look that route and at least get your work out there and help other people. You could even make a little road show with this and go and help folks who might be in abusive situations.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah, I'm thinking about that. I'm going to have to try that. I just put together my website, and that was great fun. And so I put a little excerpt of the story that you actually read on there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I can change that. So when I write a new story, I can put that on there as well.
Well, there's so much anymore to being an author, especially a self-published author, because then you've got all of that marketing that you have to do on your own. You have to put the marketing hat on as well. So you don't know if you should
That's
be
right.
writing or marketing.
That's right. Exactly. Good thing I'm retired now, so I have the time to do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Flash fiction and flash nonfiction. Would you consider doing that?
It's an interesting process for me because when I get to writing my short story, the characters come alive for me. And I actually dream about them, and you know I have them. I'm obsessed with them, and it's kind of a fascinating process. I don't even know how it happens, but I get so involved, and they become so real for me. Mm-hmm. And when I'm finished with the story, I'm actually relieved because I have to kind of put them aside.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very interesting. Some of my earlier short stories I wrote. I wrote them all in my head, and I just sat down and quickly wrote them and quickly got them down on paper.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't always happen like that.
Right.
So it's very interesting. I think the process is very interesting. I actually struggled through an accidental murder. I wrote it, and then I had to give myself some time to process what I was writing because it was very powerful,
mm-hmm.
you know, how this was going to end. And, so it took a while, and I would put it aside for a little bit and then come back to it. But I do get, I think about them all the time. I think about the characters that I create.
I can understand that, especially when it's such a personal type of a story, because then you're having to relive this, and it's not like it's a completely fictional character where there's not that emotional attachment. And thinking about you writing short stories and flash and, you know, getting smaller and smaller, what about getting bigger? Would you ever consider doing a novel?
It's funny because I was sending my stories to an editor in California for when I first began, and he encouraged me to do that. And but that's a big undertaking. I'm not sure if I'm ready for that right now. My husband always says that if I write it, it should be called Growing Up Grillo. But I did want to say something about what you said in the beginning about growing up. I grew up in Larchmont, New York, in Westchester County, and it was before Scarsdale took over the spot. It was one of the richest communities in Westchester County. And when I grew up, my father would only rent a very small apartment. So we were five people living in a one-bedroom apartment. And living in, you know, an affluent area, but basically with, you know, in the very cramped quarters and with my with no money in the house, basically. You know, we didn't have proper clothes, and yet there'd be these beautiful stores that in the village. And when I was very young, I was actually picked up by the chauffeur and taken to my friend's house in the, what they called the manor, which was the wealthiest area in this town. And the chauffeur would let me out, and I'd go and play in her mansion and then come back to my little apartment with me. So the contrast is so incredible. And it was difficult, you know. And as you got older, I think a lot of times the friends I had as a young child, we split off in a way because they lived in a different world than I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though we lived in the same town, we went to the same school, and I was very fortunate to go to that school because it was a tremendous school. But it was also hard because I didn't have any clothes. And,
wow.
Also, my father would only spend a certain amount of money on food, and as we got older and we needed more, he still spent the same amount of money. One of my stories I wrote called Closet Doors is about my brother, and my brother is so hungry, one day he comes home and he smashes this metal cabinet because the metal cabinet had no food in it. And my father hits him over the head. And then he actually hits my father. It's the first time he ever did that.
Oh, wow.
My father beat him, too. So that's a pretty powerful story, too, called Closet Doors.
Oh, Diana, I kind of at a loss for words here that little people have to grow up like that. And thank God you are in a better place now. And out there helping people. And I just, my heart goes out to you, and I'm proud for you of what you've been through and what you're offering other people. So thank you. Thank you for sharing you today. And as we begin to wrap up, then, is there anything else that we missed that you want to talk about?
No, and I very much appreciate you in this interview. Thank you very much. I appreciate all the good work that you do.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's be sure to send folks to your website. So why don't you give them the details where they can find you and your work?
Yes, it's shortstoriesbydianavatt.com, and it's published my short story, and it's called Boundless, the anthology that's coming out today.
Oh, how exciting. I'm just thrilled for you. It makes me very happy. Well, I appreciate you, and I know your words are touching and helping others, so thanks for sharing today.
Thank you very much.